The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the children's sermon this morning. Good morning. The gospel lesson this morning is a very interesting one. We just went through it. It's a long, long lesson. But think about this for a minute. What do you pack when you go on a trip? What do you put together? Depends on, I guess, where you're going. Let's say you are going on a camping trip. You're going to go out camping. What do you need to go out camping? Well, you may need a tent. You're going to need some sleeping bags. You are going to need some bug spray. Maybe a light for night. You need food. You definitely need food, don't you? You might need some extra clothes. And what else are you going to need for that camping trip? As as you go camping. Maybe you need something to keep you dry during wet weather. You need something to cook the food on. Maybe you can build your own fire pit. Maybe on that camping trip they have places where you can have a charcoal fire on a grill. You need to think about that. You need utensils. You need something to eat out of. You need something to drink out of. You need clothes. You need whatever you're going to do. You're going to go fishing on your camping trip? Well, you need all the fishing gear as well then too. Or maybe you're going hiking, so you need some good shoes or good boots to be able to go hiking, and maybe a walking stick. Are you going to be out on a lake or a river? Maybe you need a canoe or a kayak to get out there, or a power boat even. We pack a lot of stuff when we go places, don't we? In our lesson today, Jesus sends out his disciples. He's going to send them on a trip. It's not a camping trip, but it's a trip to go tell people about Jesus. And what do they need to go tell people about Jesus? Jesus says, don't pack a suitcase. You don't need a suitcase. You don't even need extra clothes. What you have with you right now is fine. What you know right now is fine. Anybody can tell other people about Jesus. You may not feel like you're ready to tell people about Jesus, but you can do that. You can talk to them. You can also help them in all they do. Some of the things that Jesus taught them to do is to go out and pray for people. He even told his disciples, go out and heal people, make them better, make them feel better. He even says, raise them from the dead. Jesus is with us when we go out, when we travel. When we go on a camping trip, Jesus is with us. If we come here into worship, Jesus is with us. If we stay at home and listen to worship, Jesus is still with us. He's still a part of us, and Jesus is with us when we go out and tell other people about him. And he also helps give us the words so that they can hear and they can understand and they too can feel that love of Jesus. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you open up a Bible and you go to the New Testament, you notice that the four first books in the New Testament, if you read through all four of those, you will see that basically they tell the same story. Those are our Gospels. Those are the books of the Gospel. They tell basically that same story, that story of Jesus. There's been attempts throughout the centuries to combine those four Gospels into one so that we have one good long narrative that includes everything. But that has been resisted throughout the centuries. For one simple reason is that each one of the Gospels tells that same story, but they tell it in a different way, and they highlight different aspects of Jesus' life or of his ministry through it. Matthew's gospel is known as the teaching gospel, and in that, he has a lot of teachings that the other gospels don't have. It's in Matthew that we find that extended version of the Sermon on the Mount, which covers, I think, chapters 5 through 7. And then throughout the rest of it, Matthew's gospel then too, there's bits and pieces or longer sections of Jesus actually sitting down with his disciples or sitting down with crowds or teaching in synagogues. And so Matthew's is known as the teaching gospel. Mark was believed to be the first gospel that was written, and it is the shortest gospel that is written, and it is known as the more precise gospel. One of the emphasis of Mark's gospel is there's things that need to happen, and they need to happen immediately. There's a sense of urgency. There's no time to waste throughout Mark's gospel. That message needs to get out, and it needs to get out now. Don't be messing around. Luke's gospel is known as the storytelling gospel. Luke has a lot of stories about Jesus, but then it's in Luke's gospel that we find most of the parables, the stories that Jesus told. Those teaching parables, those parables that have a point, stories that have a point to them. It's in Luke's gospel that we find things that where we don't find them other places, such as the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the good Samaritan, and a number of other parables that you don't see in the other gospel. And then John is completely different from all the other three. John has a different type of narrative. He has a completely different type of style. He tells other stories. He tells other teachings of Jesus. But then John's gospel also then has all the I am sayings, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus has all those, or John's gospel includes all of those with the stories that come with those. This morning and throughout this year, we will be looking mainly at Matthew's gospel and also some in John's gospel as we follow the three-year lectionary. And here in our lesson today, as we look at chapters 9 and 10, again, we see that highlight of Matthew, that idea of him teaching. It starts out where he was in the teaching in the synagogues. And then also, too, we see an extensive teaching of his disciples here as he sends them out. It starts out that Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I get a sense here that Jesus seemed to be somewhat overwhelmed. Everywhere he went, people needed help. They needed to hear that good news of the kingdom of God. They needed to be cured of their illnesses. They had troubles in their lives. The government was oppressive. People were just downtrodden. They were looking for hope within their lives. They were looking for help. They were looking for cures. And I get the sense that Jesus was overwhelmed because every time he turned around, someone was asking him for something. Jesus is the Son of God. But as he came to this earth, he took on humanity. And there is just so much one person in human flesh can do. There were so many things going on in that day and time, and people were just downtrodden. You think about today as well then, too. It seems like we have so many extraordinary events going on. The ongoing problems or struggles, conflicts in politics, world events, the pandemic going on, racial tensions, along with all the other stuff that just happens anyway at other normal times. It seems to be overwhelming. I know when I first started in ministry, when I got out of seminary and actually went into the first parish, one of the things that opened up my eyes is how much issues people have within their own families or within their own lives. People lose their jobs. People do get sick. There's cancer, heart disease, other diseases out there. There's trouble with their children. There's trouble with their parents. There's abuse within families. People do commit suicide. People do die. People do grieve. And all these things are going on, and for the most part, you don't see them because people put on a public face. But as a pastor, they learn to be able to trust me. And so I got to see some of the insights into people's lives. And it is amazing how much help people could use, how much compassion, how much assistance people can use, or just even a listening ear. It was almost overwhelming to see what was needed within people's lives, within the congregation. I think Jesus has that sense here then too, every time he turns around, that there's needed, there's something needed. People are asking him for help. There's too much. So what's Jesus do? He doesn't just give up and say, I can't handle all that. I can't do all that. I can't be in all the places at one time. So what he does is he sends his disciples out. Now you've got to remember, at this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has spent time with his disciples. They have seen him do signs and wonders and miracles and cure people. He has talked to the crowds. He has been visiting in the synagogues where people gather. And as they move from town to town, I'm sure Jesus is talking with them as they're walking along, or maybe in the evenings when they finally settle down. He has time to visit with them, answer their questions, and teach them. But it's still early in his ministry. They haven't had a whole lot of training. But Jesus sends them out anyway. He says the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. He sends them out anyway. And it's amazing the way that he sends them out. He says, don't take extra money. Don't take an extra coat. Just go. Just go and proclaim that kingdom of God is near. That had to be scary for the disciples. I know it is scary for us to sometimes even just to talk about Jesus or to help someone in his name. We think, I don't have enough knowledge. I don't know enough. I wouldn't know what to say. What do I say to people? How do I talk to them? Will they listen to me? Will I be rejected? It's a scary thing to go out and to talk to people sometimes about Jesus. But one of the things that I have found is that once you start talking to people, many people are receptive and they do want to hear. Also, too, as you actually do ministry, as you go out and you serve people, as you help people, as you talk to people, not only are they being helped, but actually that joy returns back to yourself. It comes back to you. You feel that your enthusiasm, your faith is expanded. You feel that joy of Christ within you as you go and help. I know, too, as teaching Bible classes or teaching people, that it's not the students who learn the most. It's actually the instructor who learns the most through that. So as we do ministry, a lot of times, even though we're helping someone else, a lot of times we ourselves are being helped even more. The disciples had qualms, or we may also have qualms, about going out and proclaiming that good news of Jesus Christ, proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. But Jesus addresses that. He says, don't worry about it. God will give you the words. God will provide you with what you need. God's will is going to be done, whether or not we participate in it. But God calls us to participate in that. And by being a part of that, God continues to bless us. God calls us to be his disciples, to go and proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ, to proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.